Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to talk about the types of medicinal mushrooms and how they can boost your health. Melon extract eases a major disease in the United States. Oh, by the way, those antidepressant drugs, they do not improve the well-being in children and adolescents. And from Mike Adams, after the water is gone, the soil is gone, the crops are gone, and the superweeds take over, how exactly will Americans feed their families? Some are interested, most are not. Also from our environmental segment today, a team of ecologists estimate that we could see virtually all saltwater fish extinction in the next 30 years. Profiteers cashing in on the nation's catastrophic water crisis. In the face of historic droughts, the nation's largest aquifers and reservoirs are drying up. Are the people told? No. How many people are affected? Well, just in Texas, 6 million people in 1,200 different communities. Doing anything about it? Nope. A report, the oil sands contaminate the First Nations foods, giving residents cancer. A new study, just out, pushes back. It claims that all oil sands have no marked effect on community health and cancer rates. Oh yeah, they do. And we'll talk about it. From Neil Z. Miller from GreenMed Info, a very important article. The CDC says there are 131 ways for an infant to die, but none of them are from vaccines. What? How's that possible? Because when a baby dies, the coroners must choose from among those 130 categories. But vaccines are not any of those categories. Well, that's just not possible. They are the number one cause of sudden infant death syndrome. Well, the science shows that, but the politics and profits won't allow that to be said because it would impact them. As you see, we have a lot to share, including, well, this ought to make your day. Members of Congress declare, quote, immunity from insider trading probe. A House panel refuses to submit to the Securities and Exchange Committee Commission's subpoenas, meaning that they believe that members of Congress have absolute immunity from having to comply about whether they've engaged in any insider trading. So they can do what is a criminal offense for anyone else in our society. I mean, I can't imagine any institution having any credibility and being the most powerful institution in America and only 7% approval. That is being very optimistic. We either have 7% of very dumb Americans disconnected from reality, but it should be zero. We should throw all of these bums out and get real people in their places. I could just see all the members of Congress standing on a corner of some city pimping, because that's all they are. And we all know that. Let's begin. There are certain types of mushrooms. There are hundreds of mushrooms, but there are certain types in our society people enjoy eating. But it's the ones that can actually help you with your health that are important. Alternate.org has an interesting article that gives some insights into there. And by the way, we call it functional food, meaning it serves a specific function in the body. And mushrooms are right up there. They are functional food. There are currently 30,000 discovered and classified species of mushrooms that hold medicinal benefits. But we're only talking about those that most people could find or would benefit from. And here is what they are. First and foremost at the top of my list would be shiitake. That's S-H-I-I-T-A-K-E. It's a powerful immune enhancer. It has very strong antiviral properties. It can lower your cholesterol. I don't care what kind of virus you have in your body. Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus, herpes, HIV, it can help inhibit it. and it contains what is called lentinin. L-E-N-T-I-N-A-N, lentinin, which not only strengthens the immune system, but according to the American Cancer Society, is believed to slow tumor growth. Now, these mushrooms are fungus. This is native to Asia, but you could grow it. I've grown shiitake mushrooms. They're easy to grow. Very tasty. It's one of the most delicious of all the mushrooms. I remember first giving on a protocol for persons with full-blown AIDS, or ARC, a diet heavy into raw juicing, very nutrient-rich, like yams, sweet potatoes, watercress. But I had them eating 2 servings of mushrooms a day. 1 big serving with garlic and onion and a miso in it, and that was shiitake. And I got a lot of positive feedback about how they began to feel much better and they liked the taste of it. The other is the reishi, R-E-I-S-H-I. And it's one of the best known in all of Chinese medicine. It's called the herb of spiritual potency. And it can heal tumors, it can lower blood sugar, it can lower cholesterol. In fact, in one report, reishi was shown to enhance immune system, provide HEPA protection, and also against bacterial overgrowth as well. It's been around for over 2,000 years. Then you have what is called lactarius, L-A-C-T-A-R-I-U-S. And it's the second name is salmonellachlor, S-A-L-M-O-N-I-C-O-L-O-R. It's an edible mushroom, very strong, has antioxidants. It's antioxidants that are normally not in mushrooms. It is very beneficial for your immune system. Then you have coriolis, C-O-R-I-O-L-U-S. It's commonly called turkey tail. It's traditionally been used in Asian herbal remedies. And extracts of polysaccharide K and a polysaccharide peptide, PSP, are being used now in studies for clinical trials, see how they help people with different types of cancer. Then you have the morel, M-O-R-E-L. It's very high in vitamin D and polymorphic in varying shapes and colors and sizes. It's a very earthy, almost woody flavor. Very good in B vitamins. And you have to, this is more difficult to find, but it's great for boosting immunity. So those are some, now you can get the maitake defraction, but that you have to get in supplement form. That's mainly for people with AIDS, defining illnesses, and cancers. Melons, all types, are really good for you. A new 12-week clinical study shows that melon-derived superoxide dismutase can help reduce stress and fatigue and improve cognitive performance. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrients. So, if you want to reduce stress, then I suggest juicing melons or eating melons and combinations, all different types of melons. They're all good for you. We've been led to believe that we are a nation that are so stressed and so incapable of dealing rationally and reasonably and positively with our problems that we should hide from our problems and be distractible, hence bread and circus, television, tabloids of gossip, reality shows that aren't real, just obnoxious. And we also are told that, well, drink, socialize, spend time on the internet, and or argue, or take medication, or take, you know, marijuana. So then it works for people, meaning it distracts them, doesn't solve anything. Why not look at that big, gigantic market for children? And hence, now classifying completely normal behavior as psychiatric. This is from Mainstream Medicine's Medical News Today. In an article published in psychotherapy and psychosomatics, the effects of antidepressant drugs on well-being in children and adolescents were analyzed. Recent meta-analysis, meaning multiple studies, the efficacy of second-generation antidepressants for youth, have concluded that such drugs possess a statistically significant advantage over placebo, but barely, and there's no meta-analysis showing quality of life, global mental health, self-esteem, autonomy, etc. So then there was this major review by the Cochrane Central Register for Controlled Trials, and they looked at GlaxoSmithKline's online trial registry, and they came up with their findings, published at Neural Regeneration Research, and it shows that, no, there's not this, no, that's not where they published in different publication. They found that does not improve well-being. Okay, so let's get the takeaway message. Instead of sitting with children and working with them on their character development, helping them understand how problems occur all throughout life, different problems at different stages, but everybody's got problems. Nobody walks through a day without having some kind of problem. Now, they may have a lot of advantages over other people, and some people may seem to have more problems because it's very personal when you allow a problem to dominate your life. But children, we're told, they can't deal with any of this. And I say, yes, they can, and historically have. Go back and read about Cicero's problems raising his children, and you'll see it's no different than many of us today who have children. Drugs are not the answer. Medications are not the answer. Buying love is not the answer. Condemnation is not the answer. Coddling is not the answer. Understanding the nature of the problem is helping a person in a very sensitive and thoughtful way, that's the solution. So all we're doing is increasing suicide and a lifetime of addiction and being stigmatized. So let's stop drugging our children. And don't look for your state, federal, or local health communities to help you. They're in league with the pharmaceutical industry. And don't look for the major politicians like Hillary Clinton or the Bushes. They're completely co-opted by Big Pharma's approach. And don't look at many of the so-called liberal station personalities. They don't go out and attack them. They don't do their homework. They don't do any scholarship. And they're pro-vaccines and pro-teen screens. So look for yourself. Now, sometimes we have a supplement that really provides a lot of benefit to the body. Yesterday I mentioned why chlorella is so important, because it can help chelate heavy metals like lead and cadmium, take them out of the body. There's a new study today on chlorella, and here's what it says. This is published in the Peer-Reviewed Journal Nutrition Journal. Quote, the present study is the first evidence offered to support the hypothesis that the regular consumption of chlorella supplements, 5 grams a day over 4 weeks, significantly reduced serum triglycerides, total cholesterol, and very low density lipoproteins, cholesterol. Well, that's good. That is good. So, when you use chlorella, you're improving cardiovascular benefits. That's a human trial. Well done. And by the way, there are a whole lot more on chlorella. And finally, there are about 18 million Americans suffering from gluten intolerance, according to this study, and also could be affected by genetically modified organisms. From Natural Society, quote, gluten intolerance is a hot issue these days. Research estimates that over 18 million Americans now have gluten sensitivity. These new gluten sensitivities are likely due to genetic alterations of crops. And while there's no GMO wheat per se, GMOs and modern wheat are killing us. Wheat's mass production turned into toxic junk food, and now the combination of the two is causing headaches, stomach ulcers, prostate cancer, irritable bowel syndrome, bladder and pancreatic cancers, and all sorts of digestive issues for huge portion of the population. Celiac disease is on the rise, too, also caused by eating the proteins in genetically modified gluten. It used to be a rare disease. Now it's not. Quote, celiac was rare, but it's now more common in all age groups, says Dr. Joseph Murray, MD, a Mayo gastroenterologist. Although the cause is unknown, celiac disease affects 1 in 100 people. What's more, the Mayo Clinic has found a 400% higher death risk for people with undiagnosed gluten intolerance. So just be aware, GMOs are toxic, and GMOs and altered crops are causing our guts to leak, allergic responses, impaired digestion. So just get off of it and help yourself. Now let's go to our environmental segment. We have several issues that are important today. The first is from Marco Torres from Prevent Disease. Quote, team of ecologists estimate that we could see saltwater fish extinction in just over 30 years. After analyzing several different kinds of data relating to biodiversity, researchers have stated that overfishing, pollution, habitat loss will be responsible for loss of most of the ocean species. That's when the world's oceans will empty of most fish, predicted an international team of ecologists. The study by Dr. Doris Worm of Halifax, University of Halifax, Nova Scotia, with colleagues in several countries, looked at all the fish, look at their overfishing, look at massive fish die-off. Quote, I was shocked and disturbed by how consistent these trends are beyond anything we suspected. This isn't predicted to happen. This is happening now. This is Dr. Nicola Beaumont of the Plymouth Marine Laboratory, UK. Quote, if biodiversity continues to decline, the marine environment will not be able to sustain our way of life. Indeed, it may not be able to sustain our lives at all. So, we know that at least 500 million people over the world literally exist on catching fish. So the fish stock is important for their survival. But we also know that, take the Japanese as just one example. They fish whales, they fish anything that they can catch and they eat, but they don't consider the consequences. There's virtually zero concern. The same is true for virtually all the fisheries around the world. And then ask the average person, are you willing to give up a fish in order to save the species? Most people will say, well, yes, but they'll do just the opposite. What we say and what we do are two different things, because we haven't done anything to save the fish, and even international laws won't save it. So go vegan, then you don't have to worry about that. You're doing something good for the fish. I mentioned over 5 years ago that we were facing severe water crisis, that wars would be fought over water resources, that massive human migration would be caused by water shortages, that global warming would cause at least half of all Americans to be water deprived, meaning short of the water necessary to sustain themselves at their current level. That's now coming true. Many states, in 7 states in particular, you're looking at Kansas, Colorado, Texas, California, Nevada, New Mexico, and Arizona are just gone as far as their water. And yet at the same time, many people are moving to these environments because they like the weather. Well, they must not spend summers in some of these places, because you are looking at extremely hot weather and it's only going to get hotter. You're also looking at sandstorms and dust storms that people haven't seen since the 1930s in some of these areas. A dust storm is bad for your health and your lungs, but a sandstorm can cause a lot of damage. And you get sand particles in your lungs, you got problems. That's where Common Dream comes in, and it writes a short commentary. Quote, profiteers cashing in on the nation's catastrophic water crisis. In face of historic drought, nation's largest aquifers and reservoirs are drying up. America's food-growing regions face a crisis of catastrophic proportions as historic drought continues to drive the nation's largest water reserves to record lows. Amidst the shortages, private landowners are facing harsh criticism for seeking profits from their dwindling public resource. Quote, we're headed for a brick wall at 100 miles an hour, said James Mahan, a scientist at the USDA's Agriculture Research Service Lab in Lubbock, Texas. And quote, and really, the effects of climate change are branches hitting the windshield along the way. Mahan was specifically referring to the depletion of the Ogallala Aquifer, an underground reservoir that that has about 110.8 million acres across eight states. So it provides water to the panhandle of Texas, but clear up through America's breadbasket, Indiana, Kansas, etc. But according to NBC News, after years of, quote, punishing drought and chronic mismanagement, the aquifer now faces, quote, catastrophic depletion with profound implications for the millions worldwide fed by the farms which rely on the aquifer. The draining of this Ogallala is also indicative of what is happening to water sources across the western United States. According to the latest assessment by the U.S. Drought Monitor, huge swaths of California, Nevada, Texas, and Oklahoma are experiencing extreme or exceptionally extreme drought. In June, nearly 80% of California was under extreme drought conditions, while the area considered to be in the highest category of drought, exceptional, bad, continues to get worse. This week, Lake Mead, the country's largest reservoir, was providing water to about 40 million people in the U.S. and Mexico with a portion of their drinking water. It's expected to reach a record low right now. That's according to the Federal Bureau of Reclamation. Now, as reserves are drying up, reports of landowners cashing in on water market highlights the dangers of granting private control to the essential public resource. And by the way, in California, I told you so on this. The price of water has increased 1,000% in the last 5 years, and it's going to double. Yep. So why aren't we talking about this and having discussions? It's no longer has this tipped. Yes, it has. It's no longer can we live wherever we want? No, we can't. Not if you intend to have a sustainable environment where you live. And that's important. So here is the downside. If you're a politician, let's say you're a governor or you're the top person in your legislature at the state level or national representative House or Senate, and you took an honest look, you would see that your major cities in the major states that are affected by drought are not sustainable. You don't have enough water for industry, for residents, for the lawns and golf courses, for the gated communities, and those that have the sunshine have the largest number of gated communities, and for industry, farms, there's just not enough. So the rule of power is that the dominant persons in any environment will always claim the right to have their needs met first. So your largest city will get the most water, the largest power block and tax base and economic base will get the water first. And also those are people who can afford extra. So if your water bill went from $100 a month to $500 a month, the average person couldn't afford that. Wealthy people can. So if you were to fly over a lot of places, you'd see a lot of golf courses in Arizona, especially in New Mexico and California, Texas. Those are all going to be gone unless the owners can drill deep enough to get into an aquifer and then use that. But then you have to ask, how long has that aquifer been around? Is it replenishable? More often than not, the answer is no. How many other people are going to be using it? And then they would come up with some frightening reality that, gee whiz, yeah, we got down to deeper well at 2,000 feet. That was $200,000 to get it. But it's only got 2 years and that's gone. So we're going to see a tax base start to flee. If the people begin to sell their residence, it depresses the real estate market. If people begin to move out of state, it then depresses the local, the county, and the state income. Property taxes are also affected, school taxes, and of course sales taxes. So your income base to support these mammoth, bloated bureaucracies are going to be thinned out. And then when the reality hits that we're just not going to have the same environment, then you'll see mass exodus. But that won't be for several years. But it'll all be happening within the next, I say, 3 years, because the dollar loses value, hyperinflation is going to occur, some serious environmental disaster is going to occur, I predict, and then drought, loss of water supply. I'll tell you how bad it is. I just did a survey. I'm not using anyone else's information. I created my own. In Texas alone, except for one area that has plenty of water, there are 6,200,000 people who are water challenged. In some communities, out of 1,200 communities, some don't even have enough water for 3 months. So where are they going to get their water? How are they going to pay for it? These are the issues. And that's just in Texas. The worst is in California. And Georgia is going to be hit. Northern Florida is going to be hit. So I'm telling you again, think about it. You won't notice it today. You just won't. But get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your protective environment. Come to where I am every day, traveling somewhere in America, filming the reality of the world we live in. And then you'll suddenly see, wow, I didn't know all this was here. No, we live very, very, very protected lives. Finally, from our environmental segment, from Common Dreams, an article entitled, Oil Sands Contaminate First Nations Foods, Give Residents Cancer. The development of the Alberta oil sands is contaminating areas of wildlife and, as a result, degrading the health of Indigenous people of Canada's First Nations, including by contributing to higher cancer rates. This, according to a report released yesterday from the University of Manitoba's Environmental Conservation Lab. Quote, by the way, the report is titled Environmental and Human Health Implications for the Athabasca Oil Sands for the Miikishi-Cree First Nation and also the Chipewyanan First Nation in northern Alberta. That's the title of the article. The report found that, quote, substantial employment opportunities are generated by the oil sands. Yet this development, as well as the upstream hydro projects, compromises the integrity of the environment and wildlife, which in turn adversely affects human health and well-being. Many of the results, as they relate to human health, are alarming and should function as a wake-up call to industry, government, and communities alike. That's according to Dr. Stephanie McLachlan, who headed the team that prepared the report. So what you have is, on the one hand, you have industry, notably the oil sands, cause a decline in health of the environment and ultimately the community members. On the other hand, the existing healthcare infrastructure is unable to address these declines in human health. The communities are caught in the middle. They need work, so the temptation is, let's just go to work. But I grew up in the coal mine area of Appalachian, West Virginia. You go down to Bluefield and Beckley, and you start seeing people who are prematurely old. You see everyone's got someone with black lung, brown lung. Was it worth it? No, it's not worth it. So don't take a job in an industry that's going to kill you. It doesn't make sense. But we have to address this and do so honestly. Finally, before we take our break on issues, members of Congress declare immunity from insider trading probe. House panel refuses to submit the Security and Exchange Commission subpoenas. The House Ways and Means Committee is refusing to cooperate with an insider trading investigation, saying its employees are, quote, are absolutely immune from having to comply with subpoenas from the Securities and Exchange Commission. U.S. District Judge Paul Granfy ordered the committee last week to explain why it hadn't responded to the Securities and Exchange Commission's year-long request for documents, phone records, and the testimony of staff Director Brian Sutter as part of the probe onto whether he or other House members leaked private information about health care policy to insurance companies. Rather than turning over the information, top House lawyer Kerry Kircher answered the order by requesting that the case be dismissed. Kircher claimed that the request for documents violates the speech or debate clause of this Constitution, which protects members of Congress from outside inquiry into legislative acts during their time in office. So, the bottom line is this. You and I, if we trade on insider information, we could go to jail. Members of Congress? No. And that's the hypocrisy of it. That's just one of the things that are hypocritical. I'm Gary Knoll. One last thing from our public health segment. This is from Neil Z. Miller. It's published in Green Med Info, a very good publication. The article is entitled CDC, 131 Ways for an Infant to Die, but Not from Vaccines. Quote, there are 130 official ways for an infant to die. These official categories of death, sanctioned by the CDC and the World Health Organization, are published in the International Classification of Diseases. When a baby dies, coroners must choose from among these 130 categories. The official causes of death listed in the ICD include nearly every imaginable and tragic possibility. However, there is no category for infant deaths caused by vaccines. This is odd because the federal government is aware that vaccines permanently disable and kill some babies. The very reason Congress established a death and disability tax on childhood vaccines more than 25 years ago when the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, Public Law 99-660, created the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Many parents don't realize that when they purchase vaccines for their children, the cost is taxed and the money goes into a special fund to compensate them if and when those vaccines seriously injure or kill their babies. As of June 2014, $2.7 billion has been granted for thousands of injuries and deaths caused by vaccines. Numerous cases are still pending. Awards were issued for permanent injuries such as learning disabilities, seizure disorders, mental retardation, paralysis, numerous deaths, including many that were initially classified as sudden infant death syndrome. Since vaccine-related deaths are officially recognized by the federal government, but there is no official classification for vaccine-related deaths in the ICD, two important questions may be asked. One, are some deaths that are listed within the 130 infant mortality deaths categories really deaths that are associated with vaccines? And two, are some vaccine-related deaths hidden within the death tables? Then it goes on to talk in depth about sudden infant death syndrome, and how babies were fine till they got their shots and died, and how the American Academy of Pediatrics has not been behind protecting the children on this issue. It's a well worth reading article. We are posting it today on blog.garynoll.com. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to say hello to all of you all over the world. Let me tell you about what's coming up in the next 3 days. We're going to have Barbara Honecker on reporting never before insight on 9/11. We're going to have Professor Sheldon Crinspy from Tufts University School of Public Health on the deception behind GMOs, and Professor Michael Choskovsky spearheading an investigation of the U.S. supporting the Ukrainian violence. I also want to just mention that we broke a little milestone here, which we're very happy to share with you. I'm looking at the analytics that were sent to me today. And in the last 7 days, just the last 7 days, 12,600,000 people came on board. 12,600,000 in the last 7 days. So, we're happy to have you on board. Where are you listening? Where are you listening? I was curious about this, and lo and behold, 164 countries you're listening to this program. Everywhere from Algeria and American Samoa and Angola and Antigua, Argentina, Aruba, Australia, Austria, Azerbaijan, Bahamas, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Barbados, Belarus, Belgium, Belize, Bermuda, and right through all the major countries of the world. We have people listening in Israel, Ireland, Iraq, Iran, Indonesia, India, Iceland, Hungary, Hong Kong, Honduras, Haiti. Lots from Haiti, by the way. Huge audience in Haiti. And tens of thousands in the United Kingdom. Australia, we have a lot of people listening. Japan, lots of people listening. And Lebanon, Kenya, Libya, Mexico, Moldavia, Monaco. 164 countries, people are listening. So we are the number one progressive radio program in the world, and we thank you for tuning in each day and listening and reading the articles and sharing the information. We appreciate it. Before we go to our commentaries and our talkback segment, and we have two interesting commentaries, after the water is gone, the soil is gone, the crops are gone, and the superweeds take over, how exactly will Americans feed their families, from Mike Adams Natural News, and from Robert Scheer, a very wise person, from Truthdig, Hillary Clinton flaunts her surveillance state baggage. Not a good idea. We still have those to share with you. I have a special, something brand new, something that's taken me a long time to do. What do I have? I have a brand new invention, something I've created. It's vegan, it's non-GMO, I call it survival stuff. 17 grams of high-quality protein per serving, 19 fruits and vegetables per serving, a whole variety of sprouts and probiotics, 8 billion probiotics. It's raw and all natural, and it's almost 4 pounds, 1,800 grams. 4 pounds comes in a big gallon jug. What's in it specifically? Why should you be interested in this? Well, there's a lot of good stuff in here, the stuff that makes us healthy. Because here was an issue that came to me. Last year, we brought out the water filter, the survival portable filter, and a 3-hour CD. I'm figuring you're going to have water. And I told people how to stock and store, you know, legumes and seeds and nuts and whatnot. And so no matter what happens, at least you know you could have water somewhere that you could drink. Even if it's river water, if you filter it, it's good. And someone said to me, what about those of us who are going to be more challenged, don't have that adaptability? And I was sitting in an airport waiting for a flight, and I had a long conversation with this older woman, a retired school teacher, who says she listens all the time. Her name is Gladys. And she said, when I heard your program on this, and I was listening on WBAI in New York, where I've listened to you for a long time, I'm thinking, okay, but how am I going to cook all that stuff? And so it just came to me. So here's what I've done. I've taken the best of green stuff, greens and grains, red stuff, berry blast, mussel, cruciferous stuff, fiber stuff. I put everything together. And here are the ingredients. Pea protein, split pea protein, which is one of the best. Brown rice protein, alfalfa, pumpkin seed, flax seed, barley grass, kale, carrots, cauliflower, cabbage, parsley, ginger, spinach, celery, broccoli, asparagus, collard greens, apples, bananas, cranberries, strawberries, chlorella, spirulina, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, kamut, oats, sprouted quinoa, sprouted kamut, sprouted spelt, sprouted amaranth, oat beta-glucan, chia seeds, five types of sea vegetables, including Alaria dulse, Laminaria, Ascophyllum, fructooleosaccharides, enzymes, protease, amylase, lipase, salase, papain, bromelain, 8 billion probiotics, some non-dairy acidophilus and lactobacillus. And in fact, I have five different types of probiotics. Sweetened by stevia in a wonderful natural pineapple and natural cherry flavor. And that's it. It's a huge gallon. So here's the deal. It's brand new, just today. Just arrived in our office today. I'm going to make sure I actually had it there. So I'm going to give you a special introductory offer. It should go for about $240 based upon what it cost me to put all this together. Today, when you call, you're going to get the whole thing for, I believe, I don't have the exact amount, but I believe it's around $130+. Plus, I'm giving you as a free gift, one only, one per customer only, I'm giving you the $80 8-hour How to Live a Rewarding and Sustainable Life. You're getting that as my gift today. So you're getting a savings of over $100. Now, How to Live a Rewarding and Sustainable Life is where I left off on how to survive in a disaster. Well, okay, so I've survived. What do I do? When we look at our global civilization and the nation have reached a critical historical juncture, and we're there, and as the threats of climate change grow stronger, as economic recovery becomes more uncertain for most people, as the resources upon which we depend become scarcer, allowing ourselves to be pulled by the status quo, it's no longer reliable. Therefore, learning to survive more independently from corporate culture, becoming more self-sufficient, is a greater demand than ever in order to prepare ourselves for the challenging times ahead. So I have put together an 8-hour CD collection. This is the most concise group I have ever worked with. The first one is Awakening the Sustainability and Survival Crisis at Hand with Derek Jensen, world-renowned ecological visionary. And then we have Dire Warnings from the Science of Climate Change with Dr. Guy McPherson, Professor Emeritus, University of California. How bad is it really getting? You know, last night, just as a coincidence, I finished late, I'd counseled, I'd filmed, and I turned on a television program, and it was The Day After Tomorrow with Dennis Quaid. And there's a scene in there where all the top scientists, climatologists, are trying to figure out what's happening with this storm. And the scientist in Scotland calls, and he tells them what's happening, that the conveyor belt that takes warm air from the equator and brings it north and circulates it back down, that it's stopped and it's created this vortex of cold, really radical cold. And I was thinking, gee whiz, we're not prepared for anything. And it's, in my opinion, it's inevitable we're going to get hit with things that we're not prepared for. And we get this all the time. Last year we had 124,000 plus extreme weather events. It's almost every day. So I want to talk with someone who's honest, who's going to tell you the truth, not sugarcoat it. Well, Professor McPherson tells you the truth. Then I have Matt Stein, MIT-trained engineer. He and I spend 2 hours on the practical survival advice for every crisis you could be in. If it's a fire, if it's a hurricane, tornado, if it's a solar storm, if you find yourself having to move out of a city environment or rural environment or suburban environment, where do you go? How do you get there? How do you survive? How do you have quality of life? You really need this information. Another CD is The Strategies for New Renewable Energy and Self-Sufficiency. Greg Paul, founder of Vermont Biofuels, we talk about the power from the people, how to organize and launch local energy projects. Permaculture and homesteading, Ben Falk, founder of Whole Systems Designs, author of The Resilient Farm and Homestead. Resilient Organic Gardening to Maximize Yield with Dr. Carol Deppe, owner of the Fertile Valley Seeds. The Urban Sustainability and Aquaculture with Scott Kellogg and Peggy Schaefer. Natural Organic Beekeeping, How to Have a Dairy Cow, What It Means to Your Life in a Farm and the Biosystems as a Vegan. So all these things about where to go, what to do, how to have a beautiful, healthy, happy, positive future, individually, with couples, groups, best places to go. That's all in this $80 8-CD set that's brand new. It's yours free as a gift today. So survival stuff is brand new. It is necessary, in my opinion, to have it. If you never need to use it, good. But just remember, think of how many wise asses, how many smart alecks, how many snarly people there were who mocked and mimicked when Katrina happened, when Sandy happened, when crisis happens. They're the first persons to cry about it and the last persons to prevent themselves from being victims. And we've all seen that. I even remember at WBAI when I told them, come on uptown. I have cots. I have water. I've stockpiled some food. No, we're not going to need it. No, it's just a storm. It's not going to affect us. We're on the 10th floor. Aishan, you're in lower Manhattan. Yeah, well, there's never been a storm that's, you know, done anything to us. 2 hours later, the water was above the traffic light. It was up to the second floor. And they were stuck on the 10th. No food, no water. And about 4 hours later, I get a call. Could we use your studio? Well, my engineers have gone home now. Yeah. So the next day, when the waters got to a place where they could get out, they sent some people up. No, they didn't come from there. They actually had to send some people who weren't in the building. And we let them use our studios for a month. No preparation, but absolutely certain there wouldn't be a need. And you think of all the people whose homes have gotten hit with tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, and drought. So if you know that you have a jar of survival stuff, or two or three, and you know that no matter what happens, you just put them in a knapsack and you go, or whatever you have to do, at least you're going to have a whole lot of good things the body can use when other people are rushing to the store and there's nothing in the store. Nothing. Even minor storms. Everything's gone. Water's gone. Everything's gone. So you already get your water filter. Now get the new, brand new, just today, first time, survival stuff. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or you can drop by our vitamin closet, 83rd and Broadway. We're hopeful to have enough in stock. It just came in with a pallet. It's huge. It's a gallon. It's almost 4 pounds. So you're getting a huge supply, but you're getting the things I felt were necessary. The probiotics, the sprouts. That, in fact, I took the best from green stuff, red stuff, cruciferous stuff, fiber stuff, greens and grains, berry blasts and mussel, and put them all together in one with a long expiration date, long time in the future. So, at least you're good. All right. At least you'll be the one that had planned ahead. And you're getting it at a great price. Great, great price. So give a call now. If the lines are busy because a couple people are on vacation, please be patient. 877-627-5065. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to open up our calls now for our talkback segment of our program. Our number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And let me just share this last thing, and then we'll take your calls. This is from Robert Shear. Who is the true patriot, Hillary Clinton or Edward Snowden? The question comes up because Clinton has gone all out in attacking Snowden as a means of burnishing her hawkish credentials, eliciting Glenn Greenwald's comment that she's, quote, like a neocon practically. Practically, Glenn? You've been out of the United States too long. On Friday in England, Clinton boosted her persona on this by boasting that 2 years ago she had favored a proposal by a top British general to train 100,000 moderate rebels to overthrow the Assad regime in Syria. Hey, you succeeded, Hillary. Good for you. Oh, sorry. You mean some of those are the no longer moderate terrorists who are now in Iraq? Well, not to worry, because corporate Democrats and liberals won't challenge you. She's been called the American Thatcher. In that same interview with The Guardian, she also managed to get in yet another shot against Snowden for taking refuge in Russia, quote, apparently under Putin's protection, unless she taunts he wishes to return knowing he would be held accountable. Accountable for telling the truth that Clinton concealed during her tenure as Secretary of State in the Obama administration? Did she approve the systematic spying on the American public as well as others around the world, including the leaders of Germany and Brazil? Did she first learn of all this from Snowden's revelations? On Saturday, a carefully vetted four-month investigation by the Washington Post, based upon material made available by Snowden, revealed that while Clinton was in the government, the National Security Agency had collected a vast trove of often intimate internet correspondence and photos of innocent Americans, including many users of Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and other leading internet companies. The Washington Post reported many files, quote, described as useless by the national security analysts, but nonetheless retained, have a voyeuristic quality. They tell stories of love and heartbreak, illicit sexual liaisons, mental health crisis, political and religious conversions, financial anxieties, and disappointed hopes. The Washington Post concluded after 4 months of reviewing the documents and checking with government agencies that the material supplied by Snowden was invaluable in evaluating the national security program. Quote, no government oversight body, including the Justice Department, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, the Intelligence Committees in Congress, or the President's Privacy and Civil Oversight Board, has delved into a comparably large sample of what the National Security Agency actually collects, not only from its targets, but from people who may cross a target's path, end quote. So did Secretary Clinton know that such massive spying on American people was going on? And if not, why isn't she grateful that Snowden helped to enlighten her? With her scurrilous attacks on Snowden, Hillary Clinton is either a fool or a liar. Too harsh? Consider her continued insistence that Snowden could have addressed his concerns over the massive National Security Agency spying on Americans and the rest of the world by going through normal channels instead of turning over the documents as he has entrusted to respected NATO organization that won the Pulitzer Prize for their efforts. In an April speech at the University of Connecticut, Clinton said, quote, Snowden, when he absconded with all that material, I was puzzled because we have all these protections for whistleblowers, end quote. Simply not true. Snowden is a contractor to the government, is not entitled to the federal protections that cover federal employees. But even those federal employees have found scant protection under the Obama administration in their attempt to blow the whistle on national security practices. As Secretary of State, an administration that has charged three times as many Americans with violations of the Draconian Espionage Act than all preceding presidents combined, Clinton must know that Obama's Justice Department has effectively moved to silence whistleblowers from stating their case in court. They even tried to prevent Thomas Drake, an honored National Security Agency employee charged under the Espionage Act, from even using the word whistleblower or First Amendment in his defense. Drake had taken his concerns over the National Security Agency's violations of the law to the Defense Department Inspector General and the Congressional Intelligence Committees of both houses of Congress. But that did not stop the Obama administration, when Clinton was in the cabinet, from prosecuting him under the Espionage Act for talking to the press. The government's case collapsed with a federal judge calling it unconscionable that Drake had been put through 4 years of hell. Hillary Clinton knows just how selective the Obama administration has been in punishing whistleblowers who expose government violations of the Constitution. Obama made a political decision not to hold accountable any of those involved in the torture program conducted during the Bush years, but zealously prosecuted CIA veteran John Caracal, under the Espionage Act for publicly revealing and condemning one of the most horrendous episodes in the nation's history. Kirkcowell destroyed professionally and financially for his efforts to hold the tormentors accountable, plea bargained for a 30-month sentence he is currently serving. Whistleblower Chelsea, formerly Bradley Manning, was given a far harsher sentence for revealing crimes in Iraq in a war that Hillary Clinton supported. If she asks for your vote, you might remind her of Kirikawa's words before being imprisoned. Quote, the conviction of Bradley Manning under the 1917 Espionage Act and the U.S. Justice Department's decision to file espionage charges against the National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden under the same act are yet further examples of the Obama administration's policy of using an iron fist against human rights and civil liberties activists. President Obama has been unprecedented in his use of the Espionage Act to prosecute those whose whistleblowing he wants to curtail. The purpose of the Espionage Act prosecution, however, is not to punish a person spying for the enemy, selling secrets for personal gain, or trying to undermine our way of life. It is to ruin the whistleblower personally, professionally, and financially. It is meant to send a message to anybody else considering speaking truth to power. Challenge us, and we will destroy you. That is the message that Hillary Clinton seeks to send to Edward Snowden. Remind her of that, of course, unless you're working for The Nation magazine, then, of course, you will absolutely, positively, but somewhat hesitatingly, you endorse her. So much for corporate Democrats. I'm Gary Knoll. Time for you to say what you have to say. Harvey from Berkeley. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Gary. Great show today. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. In reference to the water, you were talking about saving water earlier, and it turns out that that coal, oil, natural gas, and nuclear are second only to agriculture in their daily use of our freshwater resources. And once manufactured, solar panels use no water in the generation of electricity over their warranted lifetime of 20 to 25 years. And they also produce no CO2, causing less global warming. And I feel that it's America's chance to actually preserve its precious freshwater resources by covering as many appropriate American rooftops as possible with solar panels. And my favorites, of course, are, you know, we have the technology to generate electricity now without the use of water, the piezoelectric, that's pressure to electricity, thermoelectricity, but of course photovoltaics, light to electricity, is my favorite. So I say it's time to get star power. Let's get solar if we want to save America's freshwater resources.
Thank you. I appreciate those positive insights there. Harvey from Berkeley, California. I'm Gary Knoll. If you have something you'd like to share with us, give us a call, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. In the studio in New York City is Lou Ann Panessi. She is the person, a holistic nurse, who takes your emails and selects those that have something that we can benefit from and addresses them on the air. Hi, Lou Ann.
Hello, Gary. Well, I gotta tell you, I am one of a large number of people in your audience who used to buy the green stuff, red stuff, cruciferous stuff, berry blast, muscle stuff, and put it in our go bag that you've spoken about. We after we listen to what to do when disaster strikes, we have our go bag. And boy, this is going to be great to just have survival stuff, throw it in the bag, and you have enough. You have everything you need. So I'm telling you, the emails are coming in like crazy. I'm going to give the toll-free number again because people are asking for it for this special, which is incredible. I mean, I don't know how much more generous you can be to people. You're going to teach them how to live a rewarding and sustainable life while you're giving them the survival stuff so that they don't have to worry that they're going to starve should there be no food all of a sudden, because you're going to have not just food, but you're going to have the highest concentration of all of the vegetables and fruits and protein that you need. So the number that you want to call is 877-627-5065. Again, 877-627-5065. Some people were emailing me and asked if we could re-announce the number. But you're going to have people all over the world, Gary, because people get this. The people in your audience, and you said the numbers before. You said there were how many million? 12?
Just in the last week, 12.7 million.
Thank you. So people are paying
attention. That's more people than almost any place else I know that came in less than last week. To give you an idea, WBAI New York probably had last 7 days, maybe, and a lot of those were repeats, maybe up around 100,000.
Oh, boy.
That's for the whole week.
Well, you've got an excited audience here because they're all chomping at the bit to get this. This is just the best special I think
you've
ever had.
You get the survival stuff, but you also get free, one copy only, 8 hours of how to have a sustainable future. So that, and the survival stuff is meant, in no matter what happens, to get you to where you can survive, and hopefully you'll have enough that you can get sprouts growing, because that's one of the advice we give, if something can grow real quick, in the survival kit. All right, now, take us, Luann, take us to any of the questions you have from people in the audience.
Really, the only question that I had was someone that was asking about, it's a typical question. I get a lot of this. You know, what are the states that are going to be running out of water? You kind of addressed that pretty much earlier in the show. But that's a question that comes up a lot because people are concerned about that. And they're concerned about the states that are making water. It's illegal now to collect rainwater in some states. And
Colorado.
Right. So
I have an article on this. It's a long article. And it's free. It's there as a public service. If you go to blog.garynull.com and look for the best places to survive in the future, it lists the areas for families, individuals, retired, and why. It lists the places that are not right near a nuclear power plant or not overrun with gas hydrofracking, that have plenty of water and quality of life, progressive communities. The Carolinas, North Carolina, South Carolina. Virginia is a beautiful place. I think one of the most beautiful places in America is the Shenandoah Valley. The problem that I have with Virginia is that they are just overloaded, like New York State, with regulations. So if you just wanted to buy a house or rent a house, that's fine. If you want to open up your own business, if you want to do something that's not within their codes, then you have to understand you're going to be challenged. This is true in a lot of places. So always look for zoning requirements, because I don't believe anybody in the future should be buying anything unless they can actually profit from it. In other words, unless you're very wealthy, the time of buying a place just because you just want to live there and hang out and enjoy yourself and you got an income, you don't have to worry about things, that's fine. But that's not the vast majority. That's not 80% of Americans. They have to be concerned, especially with what's going to be happening to our economy, the value of the dollar and debt. So look for zoning. There are certain places that if you're in the rural area, meaning outside the city limits, then you don't have the zoning. That's why Texas is so important. That's why several states are very important. But then you go upstate New York, you go to New Jersey, everything is, you're permitted to death, and then you have community boards you have to go for no matter what you want to do. And so you have to think about that. So there are plenty of good places. There's plenty of places with water and beauty up around the Great Lakes, Wisconsin, lots of nice places up there. But just remember, as hot as it gets in the summer, that's how cold and snowy and icy it's going to be in the winter. So you're going to get the hottest summers and the coldest winters. That's part of the phenomena of global warming. So I have an article on it. It's there. And then you'll see what took us almost a year of research, where I believe are the best places for the future. You know, if you're way up in Northern California, it's nice up there. In parts of Washington State, parts of Oregon, up through Canada, nice. But a lot of places are not. Sooner or later, that earthquake's going to happen out there. You know, you got nuclear power plants. You got to be concerned about those things. But in Southern California, absolutely not sustainable. Nevada, not sustainable at all. New Mexico, no. Some beautiful places, New Mexico, but it's running out of water, and fires and fires and fires. Fires are all over the place. We just get so used to them that they're not even making news anymore. So you want to be in a place, first and foremost, that has a progressive community. So you can at least have friendships. You can work together with people without having to explain everything 10 times where they get it. And there are a lot of progressive communities in the United States. We have a lot of really good people in this country. I'm guesstimating that around 10 to 15% are living healthy, happy, positive lives. That might not seem like a lot of people, but that's, you know, you're dealing with upwards of 45 to 50 million people. That's a lot of people. So they get it. So why not be around people that understand who you are, accept you for who you are, let you be who you are, let you live your life the way you want to live, and yet you still have the natural quality of life. And visit and enjoy the cities when you choose to. I just don't believe the cities are going to be sustainable for 90% of the people. They're just going to be too expensive and too congested. And so, you know, nice place to visit, but why live in a place where you have to work yourself to the bone just to be able to live there? Doesn't make sense to me. Hope that answers that question, Luann.
Sure does.
Thank you, Luann Panessi. I want to thank you all for taking your time to listen today. It's always good to know. And again, I will post all the countries today so you can take a look for yourself. I was just surprised to see that we are heard daily in 164 countries, everywhere from Cambodia and Cameroon and Bulgaria and the British Virgin Isles and Brazil and Bosnia, Bolivia, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Ethiopia, Greece, Gibraltar, Germany. Lots of people in Israel are listening, Ireland, Scotland, Italy. All over the world, we're reaching out, sharing information. Even we have people listening in Nepal. You never know with the Internet. You can reach everywhere, and we are. Thank you all very much, and please go to our blog, blog.garynull.com. Every day, new progressive articles. Remember, we're more than just a group of people. We're an information empowerment source. We've gotten the finest minds who've spent decades proving their mettle, that they're really good people. And Danny Schechter, all the rest. And they're there for you. Have a nice day, everyone. Now let's say hello. A little late, sorry today, because we ran a little over from our spot of introducing survival stuff to Utrees Lead. Hi, Utrees.
Hello, Gary. Today we're tackling part two of the president and the presidency in free fall.
Good. It's about time. I believe his approval ratings are, what, 39%?
Well, they actually lower, according to the poll. It's 29%.
Oh, 29%. That's great news.
Yeah.
Except for the people who voted for him. We look forward to your
today.
We look forward to your insightful comments and critique. Utrees Lead, the voice of reason, the voice of those who care about quality of life, local issues, social issues, political issues, human rights issues. She deals with them all right now. Stay tuned.